The Lord made a comment today that I've always kind of thought about. In Matthew 12, 26 and 27, he says, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself, how then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? So were the sons of the Jews casting out demons? One has to ask this question, correct? And if the Lord is saying, if you assume that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, then how is it, by what power do your children, on the other hand, cast out demons? And so there's actually a little bit of a history into this. And I'll read with you a section from the book of Acts. It's actually read rather frequently during the weekday liturgies. And some of you might have, you know, might be aware of it. And I think it will give us a little bit of light to this statement before I talk about the kingdom of God. So today it comes to mind, I want to talk about the kingdom of God. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about this verse and maybe explain a little bit of the background of what the Lord had, why did he say this? So I'm reading now from Acts 19. So this is, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. That's by the power of God through St. Paul. These events are happening in Ephesus. Then some of internet Jewish exorcists took upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we cast you out by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped out on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. So you have this group of Jewish exorcists who move around from one place to another to cast out demons. So they come to Ephesus, and they're joined with these seven men, and they attempt to cast out a demon by the power of the name of Jesus. And they say, by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of him. And of course, the demon says, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And he jumps out of the guy and he beats him up. And so it seems that there has been in the Jewish history some form of power or some form of practice to cast out demons. And that maybe gives us a little bit of a background on the Lord's statement. But then there's also, in the history of the Jewish writings, there's a historian called, his name is Josephus. So Josephus has a book called Antiquities, or the Antiquities of the Jews. In his writings, he actually says that Solomon, the son of David, had established some form of a rite, some form of a practice. He actually gives Solomon a lot of credit for a lot of things, which is true. He says that Solomon was very wise, Solomon was very rich, all the information that we know about Solomon. But then in the midst of all of this, he says that Solomon had established some form of a riot to cast out demons. And he actually speaks of someone using this riot to cast out that demon from someone. But that just gives us this background of history on what was practiced among the Jews and their expectations of casting out demons. And hence the whole argument about by what power do you cast out demons? By what power are you with us or are you against us in a sense? And hence the Lord's question of, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, then what about your sons? I think if we don't have this understanding, it will be very difficult for us to understand this statement or that verse that the Lord had had made. Then, again, like what I said, what comes to mind today, I want to talk about the kingdom of God. Because at the end of the gospel today, the Lord says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come. What? Has come upon you. It's not only the kingdom of God has come. In the beginning of the proclamation of the gospel, the Lord says, well, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. It's happening, right? But this time it's actually different, because this time he says the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or it has come in your midst. What is the kingdom of God then? The gospel is about the proclamation of the kingdom. The gospel is about the proclamation of the kingdom. How God reigns. And the scripture is actually clear. It says that every knee that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth shall bow to the name of Jesus, and every tongue shall proclaim him for the glory of the Father. And St. Paul also in 1 Corinthians comes at the end of, in chapter 15, and he says what? He says that God may be all in all. So truly for us to understand the kingdom of God is God's reign. God reigns over everything. This is the conclusion of what everything we do, actually. And St. Paul also says in Romans, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, which I'm thinking this might make some people unhappy. But the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what is it? It's a joy and peace in the Spirit. So that joy and peace in the Spirit could take place when? Could take place now. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God has come upon you. Not only the Jews, but upon us. The kingdom of God has come upon you. It's actually very personal. It calls upon us to be aware and to be alert that the kingdom is present. Yes, it's not completely in its fullness, because that will take place in the end of times when God becomes all in all. But this will happen. But what we see now and what we experience now is that we enter into this kingdom. Now, when you look into the Gospels, what do you see? You see healing miracles. You see blinds receive their sight. You see demons cast out. Because in the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaims, there's no sickness, there is health. In the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaims, there's no blindness, there is vision. In the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaims, there's no demons, there is only God and his powers. This is the kingdom of God. It's to live in joy and peace in the now, in the expectations of the fullness of the kingdom when it's revealed. This is what we are called to live. It's now. There is a very firm relationship between the kingdom of God and the liturgy and what we do here. First thing the priest says after choosing the hamel, after choosing the oblation, what does he say? Glory and honor and glory to the Holy Trinity, to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, peace and edification to the one only Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church of God. The first words that come out of the priest is a proclamation for the Holy Trinity. Glory and honor and glory to the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. This is a proclamation that has everything to do with the kingdom of God. And this is why we ask you to come early to hear those words coming out of the priest's mouth, to say that we are part of this kingdom. The perception that we have that I come every Sunday to do the task of partaking of communion and leaving out, leaving again, such a misunderstanding to what we do here in the church. When you come to church, you're not only coming to take communion and leave, but you're coming to partake of the revelation and the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death and confess my resurrection. You confess the resurrection and the death of the Lord. You confess life. You confess his power over death and over the demons, of course. But again and again, what we practice here is that we experience this kingdom of God revealed to a deeper extent than what we usually experience outside, because we partake of the body and the blood of the Lord. So again, when we come to church, we participate of the kingdom to a deeper level. We proclaim the kingdom to a deeper level. Of course, we do everything as much as we can to give glory to God, but something different about being here. I want to go back to what St. Paul says in Romans, that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is peace and joy in the Spirit. This is what the kingdom, and this is why I say the kingdom is now, the kingdom is present, the kingdom is in our hands. We proclaim the kingdom in our homes and in our lives when we live this joy and peace. But there are some things in life that do not come without us working. I'll share a story about, it's actually a saying by St. Macarius. When a demon comes to St. Macarius and he says, I can't overcome you. He says, despite the fact that I don't eat and you fast, I don't sleep, you only sleep little, I don't drink, you drink a little water. He says, but I can't overcome you. And St. Macarius himself was wondering, he says, why? And the demon says, because of your humility. It's a humility that casts out demons. You know, peace and joy are very difficult to exist if there is no humility. It's very difficult to sustain peace with no humility. Extremely difficult. You can't. You look into our homes, you look into our relationships. Peace and joy, the two gifts of God and the two virtues, they don't come unless humility exists. If you want to proclaim the kingdom of God, if you want to cast out demons, we proclaim the kingdom of God by our humility, by being Christ-like, who humbled himself to overcome death. I'm going to talk about a couple of practical points about the proclamation of the kingdom of God for us. Because God reigns, or should, in our lives, we need to consecrate this life that we have to him. And I'm not saying consecrating life as in you leave everything and become like St. Anthony, although, in a way, I wish, of course, that we all do. But the point is, there is a consecration of the heart. There's a turning of the heart, and there's a giving of the heart to God. I think this is something that is so profound and important for us, that the way to proclaim the kingdom is to consecrate our hearts, to remove everything, every dark thought from our heart, if we can. Every dark and evil thought that comes into our heart, we need to take it out. For us to proclaim the kingdom of God, our houses has to be houses of prayers, houses of purity, houses of blessings. Houses of purity, houses of prayers, houses of blessings would not have pornography, or not have fighting, or not have, would not have cussing, would not have vulgar language. These are not houses of purity, houses of prayers, houses of blessings. These are houses that belongs to a different kingdom, not the kingdom of God. If we want the kingdom of God to reign in our homes, we have to purify our homes from these things. We can make the kingdom of God happen now in our homes if we do those things. If we behave in a life that is according to the commandment of God, then the kingdom of God have come upon us. At the end of times, God will reign regardless. This will happen. And we are either on his side or on a different side. The choice is ours, and the choice we make now. We need to proclaim the kingdom in our lives by doing those things. And glory be to God forever. Amen.